I direct your attention to Acts chapter 27 this morning. There were 276 people on the boat in the middle of a hurricane. I want you to listen to how the Bible describes their situation. I'm reading from verses starting in verse 14. But not long after, there arose a tempestuous wind called Rakadon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest it should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appear, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Notice that last line. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. This was a group of people that were fearful. This was a group of people that were filled with despair. This was a group of people that were disheartened. This was a group of people that all their hope was gone. There was nothing to feel good about. There was nothing to be happy about. But of the 276 men that were on that ship, there was a man of God, a prisoner, on his way to Rome to stand before Caesar. After he had been gone for a while, and where he was down in the hold of the ship praying, he came back on deck and he said this, "Take heart, don't worry. I've heard from God tonight, and he said, we're all going to make it. The ship's going to be destroyed, but not one person is going to lose their life." And he said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." In today's world, many are living in the same situation that those 275 people on that ship were living in. Fear in our world today is widespread. We have the situation with North Korea, and we have the situation with Iran. If you're a follower of the stock market, it's dropped 400 points in the last 2 days. And many are either have lost their hope or are losing their hope. Not only because of what's going on in the world, not only because of the political divide that we have in this country and the animosity that exists in between the two parties, but many are beginning to lose hope because of things that are going on in their own personal lives. Things they cannot control, things that they've fallen victim to, a disease or a relationship problem or a financial reversal. And so many this morning, if not have lost all hope, are losing hope. And so I want to stand before you this morning and say like Paul did to the 275 that were in the boat with him, be of good cheer. Take heart. There is still hope. I've heard from God this week. Now, I didn't see an angel. An angel came with Paul and only stayed for a few minutes. I've had a messenger from God this week, and I've had it every moment of this week. It's been with me. It's this book right here, the Bible. And just like the angel of God made some promises to Paul, the messenger that I got from God made some promises to me this week. And I want to say the same thing to you that he said to those dismayed souls in the ship with him, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and I believe the things he said are surely going to come to pass. Let me tell you some of the things he reminded me of this morning, some of the promises that we have before him. The first one I'll point you to is John 3:16, where my messenger from God told me this week, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The promise in that verse is if I believe in Jesus, I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to perish, but I can go to heaven and be with God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Look, we're all sinners. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. It tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're not a sinner because we sin. We sin because we're a sinner. That's our nature. I mean, wherefore by sin, by one man, sin entered to the world, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I am the product of two sinners. You are the product of two sinners. And all of us were born with a sin nature. And one day in our life, if you're old enough, and most people, if not all in this room, one day in your life, you were faced with a decision between right and wrong. A decision to decide to do right or do wrong. And your sin nature took over. And you sinned. You sinned. Amen. That sin nature it came to life. And you sinned. And the Bible says there's a wage for our sin. The wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but separation from God. Spiritual death, where we're separated from God. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, let me tell you, you're already in hell. Not the physical place in hell, but the worst part of hell, and that's being separated from God. But I got some good news for you. It comes from this promise from John chapter 3. God loved us, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Son of God, the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of God left heaven. He took the form of a man. He lived among us for 33 some years, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And mankind took him. God allowed mankind to take him, nail him to a cross. And on that cross, God placed every one of my sins and every one of your sins on our Savior, and on the cross, Jesus Christ paid for every sin. Amen. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Jesus paid for the price for the sin of every person that has ever lived or will ever live on this earth. Jesus Christ paid the penalty of every sin. He died. They laid him in a tomb. He lay there for 3 days and three nights, and then up from the tomb, from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over foes. He defeated death. He defeated sin. Oh, sin, where is thy sting? There is no more sting in death. There is no more sting in sin. Jesus Christ finished it all. And that promise says that if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be saved. Do you believe in him this morning? Do you trust him? The Bible says if you do, you shall not perish, but have everlasting life in heaven. And so I say unto you this morning, wherefore, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe John 3:16. I believe it's true. And every single person that puts their belief in Jesus Christ, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be separated from God. You get to go to heaven and be with him forever and ever. But there's another verse that my messenger this week brought to my mind. It's a verse I mentioned in Sunday school that God must want us to look at this morning, because Adam mentioned it in open assembly. It's in the words, in the bulletin. It's in my message this morning. And those three are as I mentioned in Sunday school, those three were three separate events. I got my sermon done. I did my words. I guess you might say I had it in my mind, but I had no idea Adam was going to talk about it. But Joshua 1:8, where the Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." This book says, the Bible says, that I keep it, if I keep it on my mind, If I meditate therein day and night. And that word meditate, it paints a picture of a cow chewing a cud. You chew on the word of God, and then you sort of send it down, like a cow sends her cud down to her stomach. And then you bring it back up and chew on it some more. And then you send it back down and bring it back up and chew on it some more. And so the word of God is on your heart and on your mind day and night. And the Bible promises that if we meditate on the word of God day and night, then he will make our way prosperous and we will have good success. Now, a lot of people measure success by money. The Bible doesn't do that. But a lot of people measure success by money. And if you measure success by money and you have stock, then the last 2 days, you've been a failure. Huh? You've been a failure. Because the value of your portfolio has gone down the last 2 days as the stock market has dropped those 400 points. But I want to tell you something this morning. God's portfolio hasn't changed one bit. He still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mind. And I have a promise from God that if I meditate in that book, he will make my way prosperous. He will make me a success. And that success includes God meeting my every need.
Amen.
But my God, according to his riches in glory. God's riches in glory doesn't depend on our financial system. God's riches in glory doesn't depend on the Dow Jones or the NASDAQ. God's riches in glory doesn't depend on what gold is selling for or anything like that. God's riches in glory cannot be measured in man's terms. God's riches in glory are so vast and so big that there's no way that we can measure them. And the promise is that if I meditate in that book, he'll give me good success and make my way prosperous, and he'll meet my every need according to his riches in glory through Jesus Christ. So, if you're a little bit in despair this morning, if you're starting to lose hope, I say unto you, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I believe that God will do everything that he says he is going to do. And by the way, he knows what you need.
Amen.
He knows what I need. He doesn't just know what we need as a group. He knows what we need as individuals. And he will give us what we need as individuals. Jesus said, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God's saying, don't worry. I know what you need. And I have the resources to give you exactly what you need. Wherefore, be of good cheer. For I believe God that he's going to do exactly what he says. Let me share another one with you. Another promise that my messenger pointed out to me this week. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The promise in that verse is that if I call out to God, he will answer and show great and mighty things that I can't even imagine. We studied the Psalms. Oh, it's been a while, but we studied the Psalms. And as we were studying the Psalms, we studied prayer. And the psalmist pointed out that some of our prayers we can put into words. We can actually tell God what we think we need. Psalmist also pointed out there'd be other times in our life where we can't put it into words. But we could cry. We could cry about our needs. And that the Lord would hear our cry and know what we need. But the psalmist also pointed out that there would be times that we couldn't put it into words and we couldn't even cry, that we just had to come to God and say, God, I don't know. I don't know what I need. I just don't know. I don't even know how to cry about it. I just don't know. I don't know what to ask for because I don't know what I need. I just know this, God, I need you.
Amen.
I need you. you. Now, probably all of us at one time in our life have been in a situation like that, where something happened in our life that we didn't even know how to pray for, and we couldn't even cry about because we were so brokenhearted, and we just fell on our face before God, and we said, God, I need you. You want to know something? That's the kind of praying that God likes best. That's the kind of praying that God likes us to do. We say, God, I don't know what to ask for. I don't even know how to cry about it. I don't know how to put it in words. And he says, okay, my child, just sit back and watch. Just sit back and let me be God. Just sit back and let me do the great and mighty things that you can't even imagine. And I'll do it because you've cried out to me. Couldn't put our words into prayer. I mean, we couldn't put what our prayer into words. Sometimes we couldn't even cry about it. But God knew that what we needed was him. And our hearts and our souls and the spirit within us cried out to God. And God said, okay, okay, just watch. Just watch. I'm going to do great and mighty things that you can't even think of. The Lord is great and mighty. The Lord is omnipotent. The Lord is so powerful that in our finite minds, we cannot imagine all that God is capable of. But God has made this promise. You call unto me, and I'll show you great and mighty things. So I say to you this morning, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I believe God's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. And then finally, quickly, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, and this is a promise in this verse, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. The promises in this verse is that if I do what Jesus left me here to do, if I share Jesus with others, if I go tell people about Jesus and I help them ask Jesus to be their Savior, if I influence them to get baptized and to get into a good church and begin to grow and begin to learn so that they can go out and do the same things, the promise I have from God is that he'll never leave me or forsake me. He will be with me always. The last job that I had when I worked was a job that I had to travel every week. I went to different cities around the United States, some internationally. And, you know, when I told people what I did, they say, oh, that must be a wonderful job, a glamorous job. It was for about 3 weeks. And then when you realize that most nights you're going to be by yourself, most nights you're going to be eating dinner by yourself, most nights you're going to just be alone, you realize that it wasn't a very good job. But I want to tell you something. I don't ever have to be alone because I have a Savior that said, I will be with you always. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Now, the Holy Spirit will never leave us. Whether you're busy telling people about Jesus and getting them baptized and getting them into the church and helping them grow to do the same things that you did, the Holy Spirit will never leave. But you'll feel his presence a whole lot more. Amen. When you're doing what God wants you to do. Amen. And so I say to every single person here this morning, be of good cheer. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Doesn't matter what the financial situation is. Doesn't matter about the divide that we have between groups of people in this country and the divide that we have between groups of people in the world. Be of good cheer. I've heard from God this week. Amen. And I believe that God is going to do everything that he promised. Amen. He will save you. Amen. He will make your way prosperous. Amen. He will answer your prayer. Amen. And he will be with you always. Amen. Be of good cheer. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these precious, precious promises. I pray every single person under the sound of my voice this morning will claim all of them. Father, I pray most of all that every single person here has claimed the promise of salvation that we find in John 3:16. You loved us. You gave your Son to die for our sins. And Father, I pray for any person here this morning that has never claimed that promise and asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray that you would help them see their sin. I pray that you would help them see the penalty for that sin. I pray that you would help them see the Savior who died for that sin. And Father, I pray that you would help them make the decision this morning to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. There's things that are tugging at our heart this morning. There are things that are causing us to perhaps despair a little bit. Father, help us to realize that we have a God that can do anything, and that God has made us some precious promises. And if we'll claim those promises, we can have that joy that passes all understanding. The world can't understand it. They can't understand the joy we have as Christians because of our relationship with you. Help us to have that joy this morning. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Father, bless this invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. Help those that need to make decisions to make them this morning. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.